Welcome, citizens. You're listening to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. Here, thinkers and doers always have a key to the city. The mayor is in, so office hours start now.
Welcome, citizens. Another edition of New Amsterdam Radio coming at you. NewAmsterdam.com. That's K-N-E-W, Amsterdam.com. My name is Flobo Boyce, and I always thank you for checking out this podcast, because I know you have so many different podcasts on your podcasting diet, or even your entertainment diet, you know, between movies and getting errands done or what have you. But the name of the game is making sure that we have a good time sitting with the creatives and entrepreneurs who are, as we say it over the jump a lot of times, doing the dang thing, but really working on what they want and sharing with you not only their whys, but their hows. It's going to say before we continue that this episode and all the other episodes of New Amsterdam Radio are brought to you apart by SeatGeek. That's what I use. That's my ticket partner. I'm looking for great seats all around town for events like concerts, sports, and more. And you should too. Use my promo code FLOBITO. That's FLOBITO for $20 off your first order at SeatGeek. That's right. SeatGeek, FLOBITO. It's a winning team. As for me, as I record this, it is the second week of December. It's kind of a mini holiday here. It kind of starts the Christmas season for me. I know I'm a little later than most people. Whether or not you consider November 1st or Black Friday, the holidays, December 12th, the day I'm recording this, actually, is kind of a pre-holiday. It's my brother's birthday. And growing up, he was always somebody who was bitter that he only got one combo gift. So I always make a point to get him two gifts. And when I have to go look for that birthday gift, that's when I know Christmas season is upon us. That said, we'll be heading into a hiatus in a couple of weeks. And I know those aren't the best things, but hey, that's a way for us to make sure the quality of our guests are up to snuff. But we got some really cool guests coming up in the next couple of weeks. And kind of a blast from the past and a special report of New Amsterdam Radio with H. James Gilmore. That's pretty much all I'm going to say about that. But this week, we're hanging with Mark Swanson, a.k.a. Venga Dragon. I came across him in multiple ways, whether you're talking about esports or a love of the New York Mets. The guy has done it all. He is a serial entrepreneur, and his new project, Hype Horizon, is getting him hype. No pun intended. And I think you'll enjoy that too, because this is about pivoting ideas, especially when budgets or even the trend or business segment you plan to disrupt self-disrupts, in this case, esports. What do you do? So hopefully you enjoy that one. And let me know if you do. I'm personally over at Flobo Boys on that X, I guess, and Blue Sky, and at Flobito personally on Instagram and Threads. Say hello. Let me know what you think about this episode and all the other episodes and New Amsterdam Radio Canon. Can you believe 10 seasons of the show? And we're rocking and rolling. But enough of my jibber-jabbering and rambling. After the jump is my chat with Mark Swanson. Welcome back to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. It is I, the mayor, Flobo Boyce, in the mayor's office, hanging with people who are doing the dang thing. And my guests today have crossed so many paths due to Twitter's algorithm, or do we call it X now? No idea. Whether it's gaming, whether it's fan of baseball, please welcome my guest, Mark Venga Dragon Swanson, who's going to talk to me about being an entrepreneur in a multitude of businesses. What's going on, sir?
Oh, I am hanging out. I'm so glad to be on tonight. I appreciate it. And it's tonight for me. And I'm just going to say that it's 7:30 p.m.
Oh, wow. See,
Flobo thought that I was chilling out in New York.
Yeah.
And I'm actually across the pond over in Spain. Just wanted to get that out of the way.
So okay. So now I feel bad because I pushed back this call by 90 minutes. You probably were cursing me out the entire time. I'm sorry. Why'd you say that? Well, thank you so much for your patience. Now I'm a jerk, guys. But how are you doing this evening then in España?
I'm doing excellent. It's a little bit cold here. It's only like 40 degrees, you know. So
oh wow, ooh. Yeah. It's chilly here in Los Angeles, like 65, you know. I had to wear a sweater yesterday.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. I first came across you the first time, because I am a streamer, or I'm not a streamer, I'm kind of a caster for a game called Rocket League, and you're a recommended channel. But the second time I came across you was through a baseball fan chat. So why is it fate? Is it mathematics? How are you and I always getting together when it comes to things like that?
Well, definitely, they're definitely watching you. They're, yeah, you know, they're watching. Like when we're on, like you ever, you notice when you're on, say, Facebook or whatever it may be, or even X, all of a sudden you start getting ads for things that you were looking at, you know?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden that's where you appeared, because you got Mets in your profile, you know?
Yeah.
The only reason I don't have Mets in my X profile and in the description, yeah, is because I don't want to be spoiled during the games.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, yeah, because they tweet out the score. Cause a lot of times like games will be 1 a.m. for me. They start at 1 a.m.
Oh.
And I watch them on MLB TV sometimes at 1, but sometimes I watch them on the, you know, on the replay, and I don't want to be spoiled, you know?
Well, that just begs the question. I know it's not the whole point of this podcast, but like, we have a lot of UK fans, and we're going to be in the London series this year. Like, what made you stick with it of going to 1 a.m. games or watching 1 a.m. games? I mean, there's a part of me going, I'm old. If it's 10 p.m., I'm going to catch it tomorrow.
This is like our Mets podcast, but so when I was born, right, I was literally, that it was right around the time the Mets won the World Series in 69, right?
Yeah.
So they put a Mets cap on my head and in the incubator. You know what I mean? So,
oh, nice.
And so I was like, you know what? I'm always gonna wear the Mets. I watch almost every single game, every single time, either live if I can, 1 a.m. Yeah. And I stick with it just because I'm a lifelong fan, and you know, you got dedication, right? Entrepreneurship, yeah, takes dedication.
Absolutely. You know. Well, the last time they won a World Series, I was still in my crib, and I was a fan since then. So it's kind of, well, win a championship soon. Okay, let's get into it. So, so one of the cool things about someone like yourself is that you get your hands into a lot of things. And I want to talk to you about Hype Horizon first, because I feel like it's a start of a whole new thing from the ground up. Can you explain what that is and your involvement with the project?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the Hype Horizon first started off as an esports endeavor where we had a large following of Hearthstone players, and those players, for those people in the audience that don't know what Hearthstone is, just a digital card game, and it had an esports aspect of it. And we got some esports players together who were also influencers, and they stream on Twitch. And what we would do is we would monetize the site through the team and their winnings and the competitiveness. So it started off as esports. We then branched into Valorant, and then also Apex Legends. But what happened is I got my clock cleaned a little bit there.
It's, oh no!
Esports is very expensive to get into. So what I decided to do is make Hype Horizon more of like a talent agency where we can work with influencers with their videos. We can also do social media with them and kind of work together as a team to get people views and exposure. But on top of that, I just recently started diving heavily into clothing, and as like this hat here, the merch, everything I'm wearing, as you notice, it is Mets colors, by the way.
I see that colors. I respect that. Yeah.
So that's where it's gone, really.
So okay, that is a lot to unpack there. Because one, I actually had to cover. So here in Los Angeles, there's UCLA and USC. They usually have like their own homecoming situation, but they call it a conquest. And one time I was supposed to cover a conquest as a caster for Rocket League, but the game before that was Hearthstone. So that was the first time I actually saw a game, well, in real life, because it wasn't really a LAN, because half the team was still remote because of COVID, but half a LAN, I guess, of the game. And it's very complex, and you lean into that content. I kind of watched vicariously through that, but then you had to pivot. People are talking about an esports winter. There are so many orgs collapsing left and right. What's been your take on that and still having the game you love at the core?
Yeah, well, the core of it was Hearthstone, and they just canceled the esports program, right? They just kind of did away with it, and it cut a leg out from my organization. So I had to pivot into the merchandise and find a way to start making money. But the Apex Legends and Valorant was just so expensive. And I think the main contributor to that is it was kind of reminds me of like the 2000 boom when we had all of the IPOs and everything in the stocks for like, you know, you could make a stock called like battery.com, you know, right. getyourbattery.com and everything. The stocks were just going up and oh my God, there's a lot of money in the internet. There's a lot of money in the internet, you yeah. know? So when I first got into esports, which was in 2017, because I had a poker background before that, I was doing, I was actually a professional poker player for many years and wow. played live and online in Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut. So most of it,
but ice in the veins, man. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. What I was saying is like, so in comparison, you had a company just recently, who is called FaZe. FaZe Clan is, had a stock release and they released the stock at this time. Now it's like a year ago, but let's just say in 7 months, their stock went from $10 to $20. Everybody bought in on it, and then the stock is now selling for less than a dollar. It's at like 60 cents. Mm-hmm. And things like that contributed to this problem that we have in esports, where there's so much hype that went into it, like this hype, and it was all hype. There was no substance. But for example, the prize pool was, say, $20,000, you would win it, and the players that you were paying to play in the game were making $20,000 each a month.
Right.
So they escalated salaries on players. They didn't have any sanctioning. It costs $1 million to get into some of the leagues. And there's just like, there was not a lot of ways to monetize in the industry. So the industry really got hurt by that FaZe Clan thing, but it also got hurt by the hype that's out there right now.
Okay.
Or yeah, was I mean, out there.
Yeah, I remember the bubble burst of the 90s. I mean, pets.com, that little mascot dog was a hero. And if you're under the age of 25, I apologize. It's a very old reference. But I was there for it, I tell you. So let's talk about the clothing pivot. I mean, I've seen a lot of, or even the talent agency pivot as well, because there's a lot of people out there that would have said, look, it's either a zero-sum game. Hey, esports ain't working. I'm coming out full bore. But you decided to find a way to find a lane. You say, hey, look, these are aspects of this adjacent business that we can use. What was that decision like? What was your team like? What was a back and forth? Was it like an aha moment when you said, I'm going through these lanes?
I think for me, it was like getting into that lane is something I just did because I just took a change, you know, quickly, like literally, like you come to a fork in the road and I just took the right fork and just went boom, you know, and I still in the process of kind of explaining to the team that the esports aspect of it is not where it's at. Yeah. They know it because nobody's really made as much money or anything in it. And so the team is kind of in this transition period where I've been giving out the links to everybody and seeing who sells and seeing who promotes and seeing who wants to be on board with the pivot. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to try to kind of ease them into the fact that, hey, look, this is one of the revenue sources that you have besides, say, streaming, besides competing and everything. So it's kind of a two-step process right now. Just get the concept going because we need to pivot slowly and then make a real big announcement in January that's what's going to happen. So if they're watching this podcast
right.
and they're listening to it, well, they're going to find out from this podcast that that's what it's going, unless they haven't read the PR pieces that I'm putting on the site.
Right. And you better do that.
That's what's up.
My next question is a two-parter because as Novanta, that's like my handle there. I've always felt as if I am the old kid at the pool when the kids are out there having a good time. And so two questions for you. Part one, why Vanguard Dragon? What does it mean to you? And two, do you have those feelings of being the old guy at the end of the bar? Be like, what's up, fellow children? Or is that just me?
Well, obviously, I guess I could answer the first question. I'll do the first question first and then the second question second. But I like the second question better because I think it has more, it's more exciting to tell. But Vanguard Dragon, basically, Venga is because I live in Spain and I hear it all the time on the streets. Venga is basically come on. It's like, you know, let's go, basically, in Spain, right? So it's like, so venga, venga, you know, you kick the football across the room and boom, you have, you know, venga, right? Come up, venga, let's go. See you later, venga. That's what people say. So venga, dragon. And I'm kind of blustery and kind of crazy at sometimes. So I'm like a dragon, kind of fiery.
Right.
And so the two went together, venga, dragon. Plus it wasn't taken on Twitter.
Oh yeah, right? that's critical. Start with that first.
Yeah, that was it. But, and then the second question about, like, is, as you know, like in everything right now, where we have ageism is a thing. And yeah, I mean, definitely a lot older. I mean, I'm like the oldest guy on the team and I'm the owner, right? And the thing is there's been people who say stuff like, oh, you know, I'm the oldest guy on the team. And I'm like, please don't mention that, because I'm older. I'm twice as old as some people on this team, three times old as some of them. And, you know, age is a factor of life and everything that we all experience, obviously. But it's my goal in the business to kind of squelch those things about ageism, squelch those things about non-inclusiveness, squelch those things about hate and being like against each other. Even if it's a joke, sometimes if a person gets a little bit, you know, feels sad about it, that's not a good thing, you know? So you have to kind of be a little bit more considerate of everybody's place where they are, whatever lane they may be in is really important. And age is a factor of that. But you know what? We could take it, bro. We, like, when we're older, we could take
it. Right.
But you know what I'm saying? But think about it. When I started experiencing the ageism, where people were like, you're too old and stuff like that, it made me a lot more open to the idea of people of color, people who are, you know, marginalized groups like LGBT people. I had more empathy for them. And I started to say, you know what? That's messed up. Let's stop.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that gaming is one of the few havens for people in those marginalized groups, and because you could hide, if you want to, you could hide behind your avatar or what have you. And so it's one of the most beautiful things when you go to a land, you go, oh, you're taller than I thought, and you look like this, and everyone is kind of in it together. Your admin team, so not the team, your rehearsal team, but the admin team behind Hype Horizon, what does that look like? Is it a solo situation? Do you have a board of trustees? Are you based in Spain? Are you based in the US? Is everyone remote? What does that look like from an organizational standpoint?
Yeah. Well, so we have two locations. We have my location here, which is in Spain. And then we have a location in Maryland where I have a PO box, and because I have a friend that's there. So I have like a company set up in Maryland. And so everybody is remote and our admin team is really all remote. But due to circumstances and things, and the fact that I've had to make a lot of cuts to the organization as far as like I want to pay people and everything, and I want to give people, even if people money, even if it's not a lot, I'd like for them to be paid. So I've kind of had to dumb it down, and I've just taken over everything myself because I got to kind of strip everything down and restart. And I had a bit of an epiphany is, you know, that I was relying on people to put forth my vision. And the key word in that is my vision. Well, if I can't put forth my own vision, how am I expecting anybody else to do it? So I'm kind of resetting and I'm transitioning back into my vision and in my thing and doing it my way. Right. That doesn't mean that I'm going to like be mean to people or whatever, but if people don't want to be on board with my vision, then that's fine. I'm not mad at you. Right. You just have to just go to those different forks in the road, you know?
Yeah. Where do you employ the most help? Do you have like a creative designer? Do you have like a numbers guy? Do you have like a business development person? Like, where do you like combine like Voltron to make your vision stronger?
Yeah, well, the thing that's important is I come from a background of marketing, so I could do a lot of different things. Like as a marketer, people would know that you can do many, 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 many things, right? You have to have like a little bit of sense of being able to do video editing, social media, whatever it may be, a graphic design, all of that. As an entrepreneur, you have to know how those to do each and every single thing of that. The good news is one of the things that I'm really bad at is accounting. And my wife happens to be an accountant or has a degree in accounting. She worked in Syosset, New York
Oh, wow.
For a long time and she was in the financial industry as the bookkeeper and accountant for the company that she worked at. And so she does all of the finances. And then I own a marketing company, which is called purplegob.com, which is something that where I deal with like lots of different like casino sites, gambling sites, poker sites. I also do European football. So I have a team of people that I have for graphic design and everything like that, and all kinds of different things where they could do video editing, graphic design, social media work, and all these things. But to take them away from what they're doing for my clients and then move them into Hype Horizon without paying them for it,
yeah,
is something that I can't do right now because I want them to be paid for their work. So I can't commission them to do it there because it doesn't make sense right now because I'm still in the process of building it up, which I can do because I could afford to because of the time I have. But once I start to realize that we have more momentum, they're going to get delegated and put into all those positions.
As I'm currently looking at the website at hyperhorizon.com, that's HORIZEN.com. You have the full range there, beanies, t-shirts, the talent side. You got a small team, small but mighty. It looks pretty healthy here as I can tell, but the question I have is always the future. You have the whole 18-month, 3-year, 5-year goals, or the kind of quarter per quarter. What's the strategy for checking out for your goal benchmarks, and what do you plan in the future?
That's why I came to the show. I wanted you to tell me what the future was going to be. I needed you to advise me.
Oh, man, that's the worst thing to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The funny part is so it's like I have a marketing plan that I wrote at the beginning of 2023, right? And like with a marketing plan, you should just, it's an evolving document. You should always just rewrite it and kind of let it evolve and everything. I took the marketing plan and I just deleted it.
Whoa.
About a month ago. And then I just used some of the portions of it, of course, that like the SWOT analysis and pest analysis and all the different things to create this new vision and go more into the clothing thing. But like esports, I was a rookie. So I'm learning on the job. So the thing is that I think that my vision is that my goals are to be a lot bigger, get a bigger following, and increase my social media reach for the team and also for the merch. And that would take about 12 months before I can really set those long-term goals. Really, so I'm really starting from scratch is really what I'm doing. It's not that I don't have a goal, but I'm not a person who really likes to set goals for myself. And that's kind of weird, but I'll tell you why, is because a lot of times when you miss them, you can get soul crushed.
Right.
So the less goals that you set, but the better. But you can set very short-term goals and just kind of inch up at a time. And then all of a sudden, then you'll get the strength to be able to say, you know what? Let's just say you want to get 10,000 followers on social media or something like that.
Okay. Well,
you got to get 1,000 followers first, right? So if you could make that 1,000 follower goal and you could do it, you could replicate that, then you might say something crazy. I could get 10,000, 100,000 followers or whatever it may be. So you just kind of do an incremental growth. So basically I have goals, but they're short-term goals. Just keep working and keep learning is what it is.
Yeah, bite-sized chunks is always a good method. But I guess if I was an investor, I'd be like, what do you mean there's no goals? But yeah, now you explain it, that makes a lot more sense. Yeah. I was like, wait, what's going on here? So otherwise, I mean, when you're not working, which is kind of hard to say because if you're an entrepreneur, you're always working. But do you have anything set aside for downtime during a time of your day? And if so, what does that look like?
Yeah, well, it looks like this.
Let's go Mets, baby.
Right? You know what I'm saying? I'm a hat guy. I collect Mets caps. I have a whole closet full of Mets caps.
Yeah, you do.
I got it in different colors. I got all that stuff. I also, and hopefully, I mean, your audience understand, I do enjoy a good cigar occasionally. And I have... And every Sunday night, I do a podcast with my friends about cigars, and we get together. We talk about the taste. We talk about whiskey. We talk about life. And shout out goes up to my friend Lee Mack 912. He's over in Maryland. That's the guy. And we do that. My wife is on the show too, and the three of us just kind of talk. We've got a little audience, so that's fun. I like to go for a walk every single day. I love reading. I but I don't read books. I read internet. So I read like marketing articles and stuff like that. And kind of a fun fact about me is that I've never, ever read a book, a paperback book in my life, not even in high school.
Wait, like
never read one.
I mean, look, no judgments here, but it gets to a point in your life where you have to go out of your way to not read a book. Like, how'd you get that done?
Well, the funny part is the things that I like to read are like structural manuals and stuff like that. Like, okay. Don't get me wrong, like an encyclopedia, I'll read that from front cover to back, but I've never read like, a fiction book. Let's just put it that way.
Well, is that
nonfiction? Yes, but fiction, never.
Is that a plan or is it kind of like, nah, I figured that out.
I was like in high school, I was kind of a jerk in school. I just literally I was kind of a jerk for my whole life, you know?
Yeah.
But so I'd be like in class, they'd be like, oh, Mark, you got to read this, you know, the thing, the book. And I'd be like, no, it's so much more exciting hearing little Mary read it to us in class. I get to learn in real time, you know, rather than come in here and spoil this.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. It's just kind of bad.
It was up to you. Poor Huckleberry Finn will be on that river forever. Like, so we don't even know how that ends. There's a lot more entrepreneurs, in all seriousness. There's a lot more entrepreneurs out there that have alternative learning and retention. So you're seeing a lot more, hearing a lot more. People say, hey, look, I listen to audiobooks or visual learners and auditory learners. But when I said you never read a book, I'm like, man, there's times where you kind of had to. So the fact you kind of navigated those waters, man, teach me the ways.
Yeah, but like let's say, for example, like I get like the other day, like I got an air fryer that came in. Whatever. My wife got me an air fryer.
Great.
I'm like, ready? Yeah. Oh, I know. I'm loving it. Right.
Your wife's a keeper.
That's it. Yeah. And I read that instruction manual from front to back. I mean, I was loving it. I was like, ooh, I was like, you know, I'm like 180 degrees Celsius for chicken. You know what I mean? 10 minutes. I'm like, let's go. You know what I mean? Like, I'm getting all into that. Fiction, no. But, like, give me a good nonfiction, you know?
Yeah, what's Celsius? Anyway, I'm kidding. USA.
That's what's up.
So on the podcast, we ask our guests a kind of department questions, kind of like a lightning round situation. So I got to ask you, do you have a favorite junk food? And if so, what is that?
Oh, wow. You know, I don't eat sweets. Favorite junk food. I mean, I grew up in New York, so is pizza junk food?
Technically, yes. Yeah.
How about hot dogs? Are they?
Oh, they're definitely junk food. That is a junk food like icon right there.
All right, then hot dogs. Hot dogs are my favorite junk food.
How about that? There you go. What was your brand? Do you remember? Do you have like a New York favorite?
Nathan's, of course.
Okay, cool. I'm a Nathan's guy too, but you know, growing up near, there was like Hebrew National, there was Sabret. I didn't know if you were like one of those, but I was a Nathan's guy too. The better Nathan's fries too, by the way. Well, this is kind of a question I ask a lot of people, but it's kind of weird because you live in Europe. But is there any other place that your travel bucket list you want to visit? And if so, where?
Well, it's funny. I pinch myself all the time that I'm here in Europe and Spain specifically. I mean, I live 25 minutes from the Mediterranean, and it's sort of like a dream come true, like to just kind of live in this climate and this kind of environment. And the Spanish people are lovely. They've, you know, open arms. They've welcomed me amazingly. I don't speak Spanish very well, but they understand, and it's a great place to be. But there are some, I guess, bucket list places. I'd like to go to Japan, I think would be really cool.
Oh yeah,
because I've heard good things about it. I know they like beer.
And, oh yes, they do, and highballs.
So we could sit down and have a couple of beers together. But for the most part, I mean, when you're in a place and you come from New York and you come from the States, and then all of a sudden you're living in this exotic place, there's a thing, a vocabulary word that will come into your vocabulary.
Oh yeah,
it's called staycation.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Staycation. You could drive pretty much anywhere, I guess, right?
Yeah, we just go like, we're in Spain, so it's like we just go down to the beach, you know, or stay at a hotel on the beach. It's like a staycation, like, you know, so. But
Portugal is on my bucket list, though. I would love to
go
to Portugal.
You gotta go.
Yeah.
Gotta go. It's great.
And if you go to Japan, and I know you have to go to Tokyo because Tokyo was like the thing, but Kyoto, like you cannot not go to Kyoto. That would change your life. Yeah. Geisha are in Kyoto.
I mean, so who's my favorite pitcher on the Mets then, right? Senga?
Oh, he's the only one that's left, really. I mean, unless you're a Quintana guy, right? Let's be honest. And Yamamoto, hopefully, you get time for next season.
Well, let me just ask you a question really quickly. Why does Jacob deGrom go to the Texas Rangers? We're all saying he's not going to have a chance, and then all of a sudden they're in the playoffs. I don't get it. I'm just saying.
You know, it's one of those things where it's like, man, I hate the fact that you're a champion, but you deserve one for your body of work. And Travis Jankowski got dirty every single game, but Scherzer with the ring just makes me so mad.
I know.
This makes me so mad.
I know.
It's like you can't get whatever. I got one more for you. Everyone collects something. What do you collect, sir?
You're a hat guy, you said. Hats. But in this podcast, I'm realizing kind of how weird I really am, right?
Weird.
I like to delete things. I'm like my house is like very minimalistic, and like, fortunately, like my wife is also the same way too. We just don't collect things. So like, I'm like right now, I got this here because of the, I have the windows open. It's cold, I don't know why I have them open, but I have a little bit behind me here, but I just put this little wall up temporarily. But it's all white walls in here. We don't really have things. We don't collect things. We're not like hoarders and stuff. So I don't really have many things I collect.
He's except like memories.
Hats.
Yeah.
That's memories kind of cool. And hats.
Hats is always a good one, especially because I'm a ballpark chaser, so I go to all the different ballparks. So I make a point to get a Mets hat in every different color so I can respect the home team but still be a Mets fan. So I won't do red though.
I just don't do red. Red Met caps.
The one red Met cap I have, in all fairness, was the All-Star game when you were in DC. So I wear that one. Okay. But you're absolutely right. It is feel weird when you're in Braves country, which is another
thing. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much for being on the show, New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. Now, if someone wants to connect with you, Hype Horizon, how they go about doing that, good sir?
All right. Well, you could find me anywhere on social media, whether it's X, whether it's Instagram or Facebook. You can just go in and say x.com/Hype Horizon, and that'd be Facebook, Hype Horizon, Instagram. I'm even on TikTok now. I just opened up a TikTok.
Wow.
I realize that it's Spanish focused, so I'm not like me speaking English on it. It's not really working, so I don't really know what to do there. But anyway, you could find me with anywhere on social media, which is HypHorizen, like Zen, like you know, like Buddha bless you type Zen, Hype Horizon.
I just love the Buddha bless you part. I don't figure out TikTok either, man. Like I'll try anything, and then somehow someone who just basically does a cover of someone else's content goes viral. So whatever.
Well, I mean, just to tell you, I think you do great on TikTok. I think you just need to get a formula, and I think you do great there. You get a ton of views. I'm just saying.
All right, well, thank you. I mean, it's a lot to me because that's what I need is some kind of structure. If only I had an agency that was focused on someone like me.
Creators.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I mean, I'm pretty much sure that we're going to have you back on a future episode to see how it grows. Maybe a little bit down the line, if you believe in goals, that's changed. you let me know. Final thoughts before you close us out.
Yeah, well, I don't want people to be like, this guy is a jerk because he doesn't believe in goals. But I don't believe in long-term goals. Long-term. Like, so, for example, like, I'm allowed to say stuff like, I want to lose 24 pounds by, say, June or something like that.
Right.
Like, I can do those things, right? But I'm not going to say I'm going to lose 24 pounds in 6 years. Let's just say it that way. I like short-term goals. I don't like long-term goals. And I have goals. I just don't have any goals tonight on this show. My one goal was to get here on time, and it happened.
And you did.
An hour and a half after.
And you never told me you lived in Spain. Or else I wouldn't have moved the time back an hour and a half. I feel awful. I feel awful about that. But thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate you.
Thanks so much for listening to New Amsterdam Radio. Learn more about the show at newamsterdam.com. That's KNEW amsterdam.com. Until next time, this city is yours.